Good morning. I'm Kathleen Dunn on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio for this Thursday, the 9th of August. This Saturday at Miller Park, an event that you may want to be a part of, Stars and Stripes Honor Flight Milwaukee will be presenting Field of Honor, a salute to the greatest generation. World War II veterans will be gathering, and they will be honored by the showing of the world premiere feature-length film, Honor Flight. There's also an attempt to set a Guinness World Record for attendance to a feature length movie premiere, and it looks as though they're well on their way to doing just that. And all proceeds from this event will ensure that Stars and Stripes Honor Flight can continue to fly veterans to Washington, D.C. to see their memorials. As you know, World War II vets are getting up in age and are dying in large numbers each and every day, so it's important to get as many vets to this memorial as possible while they are still able to do so. Rhonda and Brett had the great honor of being on one of these flights recently and were quite moved by their experience, and they have posted pictures of their experience on our Facebook page, and they're currently working on a radio documentary, which we'll tell you more about as that proceeds. We are delighted to have three guests with us to talk about the Saturday events, and we'll be welcoming your phone calls. First, a special plea for those of you who have been on honor flights. We would love to hear you this hour. I know many of you listening have relatives who served in World War II, and you love to tell those stories, and we love to hear those stories. So please call. Our number is 800-486-8655. Our email address is talk@wpr.org, and our Facebook page, where Brett has posted information about tickets for the event on Saturday, is the Kathleen Dunn Show. We have three guests with us. Dan Hayes is the director of the film Honor Flight, which is going to be shown this Saturday. He grew up in Milwaukee, actually, in Wauwatosa. And Dan, thank you so much for being with us.
Thanks so much for having me.
And Clay Broga, is that the correct pronunciation?
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
Clay. Clay is producer of Honor Flight, the film. He is from Virginia. And thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you.
And also joining us on telephone this morning is Mark Grams, who's a member of the Stars and Stripes Honor Flight Board of Directors. Mark, thank you so much for being with us.
My pleasure.
Yeah. Why don't we just start, before we talk about the film, with the history of the Honor Flight. Who had the idea that it would be a good idea to send World War II vets to Washington to see their memorial?
Who would you like to answer that?
Why don't you answer that, Mark?
I don't want to jump on Dan
That's
or
fine.
Clay there, so, but I'd be happy to give you a little background on the program. Actually, it was started, if you think you can't make a difference, let me tell you a little history. One guy started this. One guy, Earl Morris, who was a physician's assistant in a community-based outpatient clinic in Ohio. He was also a private pilot. And he started to ask his World War II veterans shortly after World War II Memorial was dedicated in 2004 if they were planning to go see it. To a person, they would say, no, they weren't, because maybe they felt they were too frail, their health wouldn't allow it, they didn't have the resources, maybe they didn't have anybody to go with them. There was a multitude of reasons, and he got together with a couple of his aeronautical buddies and said, how about if we start offering these people a flight, no cost. Mm-hmm. So he started to ask his World War II veterans, and the response that he got, he was prepared for almost any kind of response except the one he got. They cried. He knew then that he had hit on something that, after he made a couple of those trips with a few of them, he said, we have got to expand this program. So from that one person making those flights on those private aircraft, it has grown. In their first year in 2005, they flew 137 veterans. And then the next year, 891. Ooh. And the next year, 5,000. And the next year, 11,137.
Oh, my goodness.
So it's grown nationwide till, today, by the end of 2011, 81,000 veterans from World War II have participated in the trip. There's now, in over 40 states, 118 hubs that are doing this program, all volunteers. Wisconsin, we've got five hubs in Wisconsin. We've got one in Minnesota, actually, that flies Wisconsin veterans. So the Wisconsin hubs, other than the original one was in La Crosse, and then Milwaukee, was the next one. And we had so many people on our list, we thought, we're all volunteers. How in the world are we going to do this? We can't let these World War II veterans just stay on the list. So we helped start a hub in Appleton, which is the Old Glory Honor Flight, and the one in Madison, which is the Badger Honor Flight. And then there's we have Never Forgotten Honor Flight that's in Wausau, which has also been instituted. So I hope that gives you a little background.
81,000 veterans. I had no idea it was that many. That is just astounding and absolutely wonderful.
From one guy and an idea.
Yeah, one guy and one great idea. Let me ask our studio guests who have done the documentary film, what was it that made you decide that you were going to devote what must have been a great deal of labor and mind power to telling this story? You're young guys. What captivated you about these World War II veterans?
Yeah, it was just by chance. I went to the World War II Memorial in 2009, and I had just happened upon this honor flight, and I started asking questions. And the first vet I talked to, I said, you know, how's your day going? Softball question, pretty easy. And he looked me dead in the camera with utmost sincerity and said, I could die a happy man now that I've made this trip.
Woo!
Yeah. And so, you know, it struck an emotional chord instantly. And then I followed them throughout the day, probably for the next 5 or 6 hours, and it was the same response, whether talking about the war, their family, or the experience of this trip. So I was hooked, and I made a short 5-minute video that we posted to Reason TV, which is where I worked at the time. And I got more email from that video than any video that I'd ever done before. So it basically started from there. And it's just snowballed, and now it's become, you know, a thing where we're screening an 80-minute film for 30,000 people in Miller Park. So it's been amazing.
You both had grandparents who served in World War II. My dad served in World War II. A lot of our listeners have family members. And you note this in the film, that many of these vets just went on with their lives, and it wasn't until very late in their lives that they opened up about their experiences. Isn't that true?
That's true. Yeah, that's similar to both our situations. You know, I had grandparents in both theaters of war and only spoke to one of them a little bit toward the end of his life. And you hear from people that they start talking more toward the end of their life. I mean, this is tough stuff for them to recount a lot of times. And that's what's really interesting about the memorial trip and what I think what makes Honor Flight that much more poignant for people is it's kind of these simultaneous feelings of happiness and sadness. Mm-hmm. You know, it's this great celebration. It's a recognition they deserve, but it's also a time for reflection and remembrance. And these guys, when they're on the trip, men and women, they say that they're there to remember their fallen peers. It's not for them still, and it's just such a testament to how humble they are that even when their day in the sun comes on an honor flight, they're still thinking about the men and women that never made it home.
Mm-hmm. You must be struck. You are both young men, but a lot of these people you were interviewing were heading into World War II, into unknown situations, unknown. My goodness, what they found when they got there. And they were kids. They were younger than you are. They were 19 and 20 years old. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and they were scared, and they should be. They had no idea what they were going towards. They just heard about this, and then to have these experiences and to see all this stuff is just really transformative. And one of the things that I think is really powerful about this is when they came home, how they basically chose to respond to what they had seen. You know, and for me, you know, part of the hypothesis of the movie is they came home, and then they had a very clear sense of what was important. Their family was important. Their values were important. Integrity was important. And you can see that today. And I think that's one reason why these men and women are so humble, is they saw all this horrific stuff. But it really, that adversity that they went through really gave them a good sense of perspective. And I think, frankly, it's something today, that's one of the appeals of Honor Flight, is this is something that is so fundamentally good that everybody can get behind it. And whether they have a relative or somebody that was involved, it's something that is appealing because current politics, economic uncertainty, you turn on the news, it can be frustrating. And Honor Flight is this thing that's just breaking through because it's so powerful and just so fundamentally good.
I like the way you put that. It is so fundamentally good. It really is. And I was struck by the parts of the film that I've seen, how those very values that you talked about have guided future generations. How many of the daughters and the sons said, my dad is the most decent person I've ever known.
Yeah. And it's I think part of it, part of the message of the film and the whole organization is, how can we apply those lessons to our lives right now? You know, I think a lot of times we look at this generation with, you know, some sense of nostalgia. Oh, I wish it were like it was in the 1950s, where you valued your family, you spent more time with your family, we weren't so busy. Well, it's like, we live in the most free and prosperous time ever. Why can't we apply that lesson to our life and spend time with our families and kind of return to those principles and priorities? So I think that's part of the appeal of the whole thing.
What have you put together for Saturday at Miller Park, Mark?
Oh, my gosh. Well, I'm not going to reveal everything because you've got to come and experience it. You know, and it's not, this is the crux of this isn't fundraising. We really wanted to do something to give the veterans that aren't able to travel for whatever reason the experience. So we want to bring everybody together. If you've bought a ticket and you can't attend, please get that into the hand of somebody that can attend, because we want people there. We want that atmosphere like the welcome home, only we want it in that Miller Park Stadium with 30,000 plus people around. Imagine, we sure give a lot of standing ovations to those people that play in Miller Park or Lambeau Field. These are true American heroes that we want to make sure that we give them that standing O and show them that we appreciate them. This is our last chance to do that. So that, and the idea to have a home, a reunion, like those that have already participated in the program, come to Miller Park. You know, buy a ticket. If you can't afford a ticket, you know, let us know. But you know, the parking lots are open at 3:30. The stadium's going to open at 4:30. We're going to have, you know, World War II reenactors, live music. It's going to be all over the place. So enjoy yourself outside the stadium. It's going to be beautiful weather. We've ordered that up. The Pillars of Honor are going to be inside. This is the mock-up of the World War II Memorial that they actually used to build the World War II Memorial in D.C. So on its way to the Smithsonian, we're going to have that inside. And we're going to have the Stars and Stripes Honor Flight Art Show. Just fabulous. The kids' area is going to be open, so have them come in and just enjoy the day, just like we were saying, with their family. Make this a family day.
And will this be the first time that the film will be shown, Dan?
Yeah. Yep. So this is the world premiere. We've shown some clips a couple months ago to like 400 or so people, and the response was awesome. So we're so excited to premiere the whole thing.
We welcome phone calls. We're flooded with phone calls with people who have taken this journey, so we'll hear from them in just a moment. Our number is 800-486-8655. The email is talk@wpr.org. This Saturday at Miller Park, Stars and Stripes Honor Flight Milwaukee presenting Field of Honor, a salute to the greatest generation. World War II veterans will be gathering. You've heard about the event, and it's going to be quite a day, isn't it? You can see it, even though we're not there yet. You can see it in your mind's eye. The film will be premiered, Honor Flight, and the director of the film and the producer of the film, Dan Hayes, and Clay Brogar are joining us in our Milwaukee studios. Mark Grams is a member of the Stars and Stripes Honor Flight Board of Directors. The program started in 2005, and tens of thousands of World War II vets now have been able to take one of these flights to see their memorial in Washington, D.C. To your phone calls in a moment, this is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Hour two of our program today, two of the finest investigative reporters in the country. They've been together for 40 years. They now work for Vanity Fair. They were with the Philadelphia Inquirer for a number of years and Time Magazine. Donald Bartlett and James Steele, their book is The Betrayal of the American Dream. They're well worth listening to. They will be with us hour two. All right, two phone calls. We have tons of them. I'm so glad. Susan in Oregon, Wisconsin. Hi.
Hello, is that me?
Yeah, hi, Susan.
Oh, hi. I went with my father on the Badger Honor Flight in May, And my voice is just quivering because it was such an experience. I'm going to try to compose myself. My father is 90 years old, and I didn't think that he'd be able to go on such a trip because he doesn't walk very well anymore. He uses a walker, and he uses a wheelchair for any distances. And his doctor at the Veterans Hospital in Madison was the one that recommended that he go. And I'm so grateful that she did that. She was on the trip, and a full medical staff was on the trip, and we had 69 veterans and their caretakers on the plane, and it was just a totally joyous experience from the beginning of the day till the end, and I'm just so emotional about it. But we had four buses on the trip, and all the buses were outfitted with wheelchairs. Everything was organized so well to give a great experience for the veterans. And going as the daughter, I was just overwhelmed.
Yeah, and, it is emotional. What did your dad think of the experience, Susan?
I think he was just really startled. I think he was really surprised, and he had a big smile on his face the entire day. And I got such beautiful pictures of the occasion. And one of the most memorable parts of the trip was when we were on the plane. First of all, the stewardesses on the plane, everything was decorated with stars and stripes, and they really went all out to make this a fun trip. And there was music playing in the airplane from the 40s. And when we got off the plane in Washington, D.C., and I was pushing him in the wheelchair through the, I call it the tunnel when you're going into the airport, and somebody from in the airport ran out to me and said, what branch of the service? And I said, Air Force. And then when we came into the airport, there was a full, a live band playing the Air Force hymn, and it was just amazing. And there was so much detail put into the entire day. And as I say, my dad was smiling from ear to ear. And I think in Washington, D.C., they must be so accustomed to these trips, because everybody that we met in Washington, D.C. was coming up to my dad and saying, thank you for your service. And there were young kids coming up. It was just really amazing.
Oh, I imagine. Thank you, Susan, so much for the call. And you've captured many of those kinds of moments in your film, haven't you?
Yeah, that's what we tried to do. You know, when you first hear about the Honor Flight, you explain it. They send them to the World War II Memorial, and you sort of think, oh, that's nice. Well, there are so many surprises along the day, and like she said, it's really well thought out, and it is an amazing turn of events and the outpouring from the community at every step of the day in D.C. and back home. It's just unbelievable. So, yeah, in the film, you'll see that, you know, you sort of think one thing's over and then something starts again and then something again, and it just keeps building and building, and it's just remarkable.
And there has to be, Mark, a great deal of care that goes into this, because many of these vets are older people, so there has to be a medical presence there, and you have to take care of people. You have to make sure that their experience is an easy experience for them.
Well, you have no idea what kind of planning goes into that. And, you know, you heard that caller. It's tough to talk after a caller like that.
I know. They're all going to be like that, so get ready for it.
Yeah, the board always makes fun of me because the crusty old 20-year gunnery sergeant from the Marine Corps is always the first one to start getting emotional. But I'll try to hang in there.
Mark is the muscle in the film. He's the big, tough guy on the outside with a soft inside.
We go through everything, the meticulous details that we have to plan for, and sometimes it doesn't always go the greatest, and we have to go with the flow. But we train the guardians. They're there for a half a day, those that go along with the veterans. We started the program with three veterans to one guardian. Eventually, we had to go to one-on-one because they're getting so frail.
Yes.
You know, we've flown 2,100 veterans so far just out of Milwaukee. And we do have medical personnel along, but, you know, the bottom line is if something goes wrong, we call 911. The the guardian is really the one responsible for the safety, because we say, you know, we want this to be a safe and enjoyable trip. That's the key. So we usually have someone right there at their arm the entire day, going on the bus, getting off the bus. We've got people right below the steps. DC is notorious for slips, trips, and falls, because if there's a little mist, a lot of the sidewalks are like marble, mm-hmm. Granite, and it gets real slick. You got little bitty steps, you know, so somebody might not even see it, you know, if their depth perception is off. So we try to go through the training of the guardians and the staff that we send along, as far as the bus captains and the assistants that we have. We have medical personnel that are there, and we do the best we can. And you know, but it's just a phenomenal program. If you don't go to participate in this program, I can't tell you what you're missing out on.
Yeah.
So participate somehow. Go to a welcome home. Go to Miller Park. See what it's like.
Yeah. Susan, what's your dad's name?
Paul.
Paul.
His name is Paul. He was in the Air Force for actually 20 years. And then he had a whole career after that. And it's amazing that after so many years to have that experience for him, I didn't think that he'd be able to do that. And as the man said just a minute ago, there was every detail taken for the safety, and there was not a hitch in the whole day. And one thing I wanted to mention, too, is coming back into the airport, into the Dane County Airport at the end of the day, that was another overwhelming experience. And there were so many people that came out that just came out to cheer the veterans. And I would actually encourage people to have that experience. You can go on the website, mm-hmm. and see when the next Badger Honor flight is coming into your airport. And I'm thinking of going now to do a few of those welcomings in Dane County Airport. There's going to be a flight, I believe, in October and one in November. There were people there that I talked to that were just coming out just to welcome the veterans, and I thought that was really nice.
Yeah. That's included in the film. How did you treat the homecoming?
Well, the homecoming they have in Mitchell International is pretty big. They get between 5,000 and 6,000 people, I think is what they've said before. So there's marching bands, there's posters, you know, I love you, Grandpa. There's a line. There's basically, they form a huge gauntlet, basically. So there's people on either side, and there's about maybe a 10 to 15 foot path that these veterans walk through. And so when they come around that corner, they just see thousands of people. So we shot several of the homecomings in Milwaukee, and we got some fairly sophisticated camera gear. We got a jib arm to shoot it so we can pan over the crowd, and we got just a ladder and stood on a 20-foot ladder so you could see kind of the scale and the emotion of it. But then we were on the ground too, you know, watching exchanges between families that were reuniting, and some, in many cases, a big contingent of a family would come and surprise their veteran. They didn't know they were going to be there. Mm-hmm. And so to see all these people, first of all, but then to see all these members of their family was just, you know, really moving. People wear T-shirts. It's a huge, huge production. So that's a big part of the film.
Roger in Dubuque, Iowa. Hi, Roger.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I just want to make a quick plug. Dubuque's going to have a 200 flights in, I'm not 100% sure on the dates, about mid to late September, I want to say 23rd and 24th of September. So if there's anybody in the tri-state area that has relatives that would like to be on it, please contact the Greater Dubuque Honor Flight.
Okay.
And on a personal note, my grandfather went on one of the first ones we had here. And I'm an airport employee, and I heard about it, and I didn't really understand it until I looked into it, but I mentioned it to my aunts, and they surprised them by getting him on the first flight. And he passed 6 months after the flight, but till his dying day, he said it was one of the best experiences of his life, because he said when they came home from World War II, they never had the welcoming and the thank you. They kind of came home and got on with their lives, and he said that was one thing he just soaked in and enjoyed, was just, you know, people waving flags and shaking hands. But when he passed away, he, instead of flowers, he asked people to make donations to the next honor flight. So the more people we can sign up to get on honor flights, the more, you know, in our area, the community support is just astounding. So it's a superb program to have.
Yeah. Thank you so much for the call. How important is it, and does this happen on these flights, for these veterans to be able to talk about their experiences. If you've spent a whole lifetime not talking about things and then all of a sudden you have this kind of event, does it open up an avenue for, and an important avenue for veterans to talk to each other about what they went through?
That's a lot of times an individual decision. You will see veterans sitting together with a buddy and talking on a park bench, just right there in the shade of the World War II Memorial, just sharing. You might see a group of them together laughing over in another corner. And then you'll see one solitary person in a wheelchair sitting in front of the wall of stars, you know, 4,000 sculpted gold stars, one for every 100 Americans killed in combat, reflecting. So it's all personal, but yeah, they open up. They've got time to, you know, on the bus, they're sitting next to each other. Mm-hmm. The bus captains tried to make it, you know, interactive, you know, who served in what service and when did they serve. And it's just remarkable to go, let's say, you know, part of the trip is we've seen the Iwo Jima Memorial, which is why the World War II Memorial was actually built so late. Everybody thought that was the World War II Memorial, and actually it's the Marines Memorial. But to go to that and ask on your bus how many served in Iwo Jima and to see those hands go up, then you see them gravitate to each other. Well, what unit were you in? When were you there? You know, mm-hmm. That sort of thing. So it's really individual, but it really does help. I've seen people open up. Now, I'm the Dodge County Veteran Service Officer, so I work with veterans on a daily basis, those with PTSD and everything. You should see how this is not just a trip to D.C. This is a healing event.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'd like to hear from both our filmmakers, too, about what you've been able to capture in that regard. Are people finally being able to release discussion of some pretty horrendous experiences? Is that important, or would many of them prefer to just keep it in their hearts?
Yeah, this has been something that we've been interested in from the start. And, you know, when we set out to make the film, and Dan in particular, we didn't want to make just a fluff piece about Honor Flight. We wanted to explore the highs and the lows of this experience. And, you know, particularly as when Dan was interviewing them at the memorial and these stories were coming out, they were visibly uncomfortable. So we really wanted to tackle, is this a good thing? Is this a bad thing? And we were just so amazed that through that process of telling these stories and reflecting, oftentimes for the first time ever or for decades, first time in decades, it's very cathartic for them. You'll see in the film that we explore this, and multiple people, when we're on the trip, start to tell us their stories, and we sort of help visualize it. One gentleman discovered Ordrift, a concentration camp in the European theater, and he recounts that story. But then after those stories come through, we show the uplifting energy from these guys after they've recounted it and how much they're enjoying the trip, really in particular as we've seen after they start to come out and get comfortable with sharing their experiences.
Mm-hmm. So a lot of times it'll start out, you know, I don't want to go on the trip. We have one guy in the
really?
Film who says, you know, I didn't want to come here today. My wife pushed me to come. My son signed me up. And, you know, that's rare, but when it does happen, you find by the end of the day, I'm so glad I came. You know, mm-hmm. we have a guy who goes through that process. And I think a lot of times earlier in the day, the veterans are kind of feeling out the scene, kind of getting accustomed to it. And then by the time you're on the plane trip home or towards the end of the day, I was in the Navy. I did this. I was over there. I was over here. What are you? And it's just, you know, they're just so excited to talk about it. In fact, there's one guy, I don't know if George Lagathe is listening out there, but when I sat down with George for the first time, he said, well, why would you want to interview me? You know, what, you know, nothing really happened. You know, I wasn't really in a big battle or, you know, anything that really happened. I said, well, you know, George, why don't we just sit down? We'll talk through it a little bit. And about probably 20 minutes in, George was like, so my ship got hit, we were sinking, then I jumped in this raft and there were sharks circling around. And it was like, I asked him, I think, like 4 questions in the entire hour-long interview. And he had so many interesting stories to share. And I think one of the things that we say in the film, too, is these men and women sometimes don't even know what they did. So, like, part of Honor Flight is to say, do you understand what you did? Do you know what you did? Because it was amazing. So let's, you know, share that with us. Tell us about it. And it's just an amazing experience to be holding the camera when these men and women are sharing these stories. It's just a thrill. It's awesome.
Let's hear. We have a couple things. A clip from the trailer of the documentary, which will be shown this Saturday at Miller Park. What time is the Honor Flight going to be shown? Do you know what time?
Yeah, so the formal program begins actually at 6:30. But there's live music and everything before that, so we're encouraging people with tickets to show up and come into the stadium around 5:40. The doors open at 4:30, though.
All right, here's a little bit of the trailer from the film.
My philosophy is I'm not afraid of death. Death doesn't scare me. What scares hell out of me is how I got to live.
Once you've been in combat with people, you have a affinity for life with those people. It never goes away.
One day we sent out 34 planes, only five of them returned. There were five men on each plane. And that's why I haven't talked about it. This is the first time I've ever talked about it.
There's only a few of them left, but the ones that are alive, I have a very strong bond with him.
There's only a few of them left. Get him to Washington, right?
Yep.
Yeah. All right, Mark in Richland Center. Hi, Mark. Hi, Mark, are you there? Mark, hi.
There, can you hear me now?
Yes.
You talked about the naivete of these young men and women that went into the service at this time. And the young men and women that are going today have the same naivete, but my dad went the day after he graduated from high school. He's an old man now, and one of the things that's his experience today is that he really thought that he was going to stop this insanity. But the wars that we've gone into since then and the so-called leadership of how we've gotten into those wars since then has done nothing but break his heart. And I'm sure there are a lot of veterans who are absolutely detesting the fact that we're continually engaging in these kinds of things. And if this movie only glorifies something that they didn't even want to do, but they did because they thought they were doing so for good reason, and then they come home and they find that since those days, the reasons for going to war have actually found to have been lies, it does nothing but break the hearts of the old men that wanted to protect their children. My dad has eight sons, wanted none of them to go to war, and watches his government bring more and more of them back into this insanity called war. So I want to know if you addressed that part of the response to what they thought they were doing.
Dan.
Yeah, we do, actually. And one of our characters says, you know, war is the abject failure of the human condition. And this is after showing a sequence of archival footage of the invasion of Iwo Jima, which was one of the battles that one of our characters participated in. He was a radio man on a control tower, so he saw, he was taking stuff back and forth from the ships to the beach. And so he saw all this death and destruction. And war is a horrible, horrible thing. I think one of the interesting things is I feel like the veterans are very split. The World War II veterans are split on the current conflicts. We get a lot of people who say exactly what your caller is suggesting. You know, this is, you know, we shouldn't be in Afghanistan, we shouldn't be in Iraq. And we get also a number of them who say absolutely we should be over there. It's the right thing to do. I think the veterans are split, but I think the perspective that they have on it and the credibility they have to talk about it after having seen what they've seen is very important. So we do that. We don't want to glorify war at all. But the reality of what happened, is very real to these men and women. It's very real. You can tell when they recount these stories. So we don't shy away from that. But at the same time, I think, you know, Clay and I think that we live right now in the most free and prosperous, you know, time ever. And this movie is fundamentally about the freedom that we do have and how to take advantage of that and appreciate the opportunities that these men and women gave us, essentially, by, you know, maintaining our freedom. So it's tough stuff. It's a heady topic, and we really think that our film is an intellectual film. It's not just an emotional flag waving film. So we hope that people, you know, are excited to see what we have to say about all this.
Yeah. Well, they took on tremendous evil. I mean, it was tremendous evil. It really was. It was horrendous. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Mark, for the call. Lee in Keewaskum. Hi.
Good morning.
Hi, Lee.
What I wanted to say was, first of all, my dad was on Iwo Jima, and he actually saw the flag being put on Mount Suribachi. He was wounded there. Mm-hmm. And so he's got stories to tell, as you can imagine, but he never started talking until just recently. And I really wanted to say just thank you to all of the Honor Flight organizers, because you've thrown your heart and soul into this, and it's just beautiful. It's just a blessing. I went with my dad on his Honor Flight. It was a wonderful healing experience, actually. And my stepdaughter just, I think the last Honor Flight out of Milwaukee, took her grandpa, which was just beautiful. So basically, I want to say thank you to everybody. It's a great thing you're doing, and thank you. And I had a question, too. I'll be there on Saturday, and my dad is 87 now, and he doesn't get around real well. And I'm just wondering if there are going to be little shuttles going around the parking lot to get these elderly men up to the stadium. I'm afraid I might be far away, and I'm not sure that I'll be able to drop them off.
Yeah, that's a good question. Mark, I'm sure you've considered that.
This is an Honor Flight event. Of course we're going to have that. We've got the attention to details. We have got the volunteers, just a slew of volunteers. It'd be just imagine the problem that we have as an organization. We've got a volunteer wait list.
Oh, my.
So we have called that wait list, and we have brought everybody in. You'll see them in their T-shirts, all the volunteers. So you not only have wheelchairs available, you'll have golf carts that the actual brewer personnel are going to be driving in, because they thought that would be a good idea safety-wise to get those experienced people out there. So there'll be shuttles. There'll be wheelchairs. There'll be volunteers to help with the wheelchairs. We've got it covered.
Will you be documenting this event as well as showing your film?
Yeah, so there's a couple things going on in that regard. Our team, Freethink Media is our company, is going to be there on the ground shooting and getting reactions to the film as it's ongoing. But also Milwaukee Public Television is doing a special about the event, so a documentary about the documentary and about the Field of Honor event. That's going to be released the following week, so they'll be shooting the whole scene. So,
great. Thanks so much for the call, Les. Let's go to Tom in Wanakee. Hi, Tom.
Hi. Say, I'm wondering if there's tickets available at the gate or at Miller Park on Saturday, first of all. And also, is the seating just general admission, or is it reserved seating?
Mark?
I don't know if there'll be any tickets left at Miller Park, because we are very close to a sellout.
Are you really?
If you want to get tickets, I would go online. Now, we did have some people out with tickets. They had them, like, at the state fair. All of those had to be turned in yesterday if they didn't sell, and back into Miller Park so they could sell them. So I would go online and order it today, or call them up and get your tickets today, because I don't know if there'll be any left at the gate. Mm. What was the other question?
Oh, I'm so wrapped up in this. I don't know. What was the other question? Volunteers? Seating. General admission. Thank you, Brett.
Okay. General admission. Thank you. No, every seat is ticketed to sit in the seat that's on the ticket. That's not general admission.
Okay. And you have a waiting list for volunteers.
Isn't that wonderful?
Yes, it is.
You know. Sometimes the board gets a lot of credit for that's. We couldn't do this alone. Believe me, we have fabulous, continuous, talented volunteers that just pour their heart and soul into this program. We couldn't do it without them. We couldn't do it without the community support. What a tremendous community support! I mean, the all the multitudes that come for the welcome home. Those that come for the send-off, it's just incredible. We've got the children playing their violins in the morning. We're talking about 4:30, 5 o'clock in the morning. These kids are out there playing their violins. We've got the bagpipers when they come off the plane. Imagine, this is a long day for them. We start at 5 o'clock. We get back about 9 o'clock.
I know.
And they're troopers, I'm telling you. They come off that plane, and they are just standing tall and ready to they get off the plane in the terminal, and they think that's the welcome home, because
You've got the bagpipers, and you've got people clapping. We've got all the volunteers, and then they get into that terminal. Oh, incredible.
You know, this community is really a character in the film. And, you know, Dan has always been bragging, oh, the Midwest, oh, Milwaukee and Wisconsin, it's so great. And
it's
amazing. And that's what really grabbed us and brought us into this was not just the vet stories. We needed a narrative arc to connect this all together. And it's the community stepping up and just shocking us time and time again. And it's changed our lives just by absorbing this story. But also in terms of the film, you know, it's got 4.5 million views online, the trailer. And now we're about to break a world record with Stars and Stripes Honor Flight for largest film screening ever. I mean, this community is just blowing our minds here.
Yeah, it is true. I don't want to be trite about it, but never underestimate, you know, what a few people can do to bring goodness to the world. And it's also an indication, I think, that we need that. We have so many divisions right now and so much evil going on that we need something to lift us up and to make us think about honor and patriotism in the best sense and all of that. We really need that, don't we?
Absolutely. I mean, excuse me, that is just so fundamental to what we're doing. You know, it's Joe Dean and his team at Stars and Stripes Honor Flight. They saw this idea in Ohio and they started saying, hey, who wants to hop on the bus and do this thing with us? And people just responded because I think it's that daily news cycle of bad news, whether it's politics or, you know, even in Wisconsin this past week at the mm-hmm. Sikh temple. I mean, you see stuff like this and you're like, what is the world coming to?
Mm-hmm.
And then you see something like Honor Flight. You might just be walking through the airport going to a flight and all of a sudden you see all these men and women coming off a plane, tears streaming, everybody's crying. And you know, Clay and I have been, you know, hearing those stories from people who incidentally happened upon an Honor Flight in the airport and just said, oh, I saw that in the airport, you know, my grandpa. And as soon as you start talking about it, everybody's got some connection, what, you know, to World War II, you know, whether they participated in Honor Flight or they've heard about it. And, you know, it's not a top-down thing. It's not coming from a government mandate. It's not coming from anybody else. It's just a bunch of conscientious volunteers just doing their best to do something that is fundamentally good.
We'll take more phone calls in a moment. Our number is 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655. The email, if you'd like to use that, is talk@wpr.org, and we're getting some emails now, and also more information about what's happening on Saturday at Miller Park. It is the Stars and Stripes Honor Flight Milwaukee. They'll be presenting Field of Honor, A Salute to the Greatest Generation. The documentary film will be shown, the premiere, and it's just a day filled with extraordinary events. Most important, the gathering of World War II vets who have been on these flights, and so there'll be a reunion of sorts. We have a couple lines open if you'd like to join the conversation. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Hour two of our program, Donald Bartlett and James Steele, who have been doing wonderful investigative reporting for some 40 years. Their latest book is The Betrayal of the American Dream. Let's hear just a little bit more from the film before we go to, we have a ton of emails. I want to get to a few of these. This is from the Honor Flight film, which is going to be aired. Well, it's aired. It's going to be seen. Are you going to air it somewhere, too? Is it going to be on TV somewhere?
Yeah, so right now we're in negotiations for distribution, so okay. We're going to kind of get through the premiere first. And then what we're encouraging people to do is go to honorflightstories.com and sign up for our email list. And then we're going to notify them once we finalize our distribution plans. But either theatrical distribution, video on demand, or television distribution, but all of those things are on the table for mm-hmm. the next couple months.
Okay, and here's a little bit more from the documentary.
We just came out to surprise our dad on this very, very special day.
The thing, I was standing there, and all of a sudden somebody says, Dad, Dad, and I turned around. And I recognize that voice, and
yeah.
Here my two daughters and my son-in-law and the grandchildren are all standing there, and they run up crying, give me a hug, and I had tears, too.
They did a lot more for us as World War II veterans than we can ever say, so we thought we could take a day and say thanks.
We have many emails that have come in. Dawn says, please be sure to talk about the mail call. Can you do that, Mark?
Sure. You know, we used to try to keep mail call a secret, but I think after 14 flights, the word has probably trickled out. Mail call is something that is so special to them. I mean, it was big when you were in the military back then. We didn't have all the technology that you have now with the emails. So they waited for mail, and you might not have any mail for months, and then all of a sudden there would all appear. So what we do with Honor Flight is we try to recreate that. So we solicit mail from the loved ones, the neighbors, maybe the VFWs, the American Legions, the Marine Corps Leagues that they belong to, and then we gather it together, put it in an envelope, and on the flight back, when there might be, you know, some of the guardians are starting to get tired, we flip on the lights and we call out, mail call, mail call. And we start handing them out. Now, it's a little like bit of an organized chaos, but we do that intentionally because it's a lot of fun for them. Then we call out the name out front, and then we repeat it all the way back to the plane until we get to that envelope into the hands. And that's when they start opening them. You know, it starts real joyous. And then after the first couple, you start seeing the lights come on and the reading and the tears. Mm. As a matter of fact, I had one veteran that went on a flight that said he didn't know his family loved him anymore until mail call. Mail call. I mean, it's such a simple thing, but it means so much to him. So, you know, it's every aspect of this program. There's a reason that we do it. If something didn't work, we wouldn't do it anymore.
Yeah.
Mail call is so important.
Diane in Superior, hi.
Hello.
Hi, Diane. Go ahead.
Oh, yes. I took my dad on an honor flight last October out of Duluth, Minnesota, with the Honor Flight Northland. And my dad's going to be 87. He was with the 1st Marine Division in the battles in the South Pacific. And even to this day, he still suffers from nightmares and has PTSD. This visual of healing for him was astounding, especially being with the other veterans.
Mm-hmm.
And we had, I believe it was 98 veterans on this flight. I did not see one man falter. The stamina was supernatural. That's all I can say. It was supernatural with these men. And the best way I can describe the whole day in Washington, D.C., it was like the city stopped. No matter what people were doing, like running through the park, they stopped. They came over. They engaged these men. They hugged them. Hmm. They thanked them. I've never seen the city of Washington, D.C. from that aspect before. So it was quite remarkable, and I signed up to go on another flight in October to be a guardian to someone else.
Thank you, Diane, so much for your call.
You are very welcome.
Susan from Oregon writes, on the Badger Flight Honor website, it says that terminally ill vets from any U.S. wars are eligible to go on a flight. It also says that applications from Korean War vets are now being accepted. Are there plans for veterans from the more recent wars to go on honor flights in the future? Mark?
Well, about the terminal illness from any period of service is true. If we need to be notified of that, and we get them on the next flight. As far as the other wars, each hub individually makes that decision on what they do. We still have 350 World War II veterans on our list in Milwaukee. So that would be up to each individual hub on how they progress, whether they go then to the Korean and the Vietnam and on. So that's the best answer I could give you for that.
All right. Thank you. Corey in Boulder Junction. Hi. Corey, are you there? I'm sorry. It was my... Ew. Corey, hello? Yeah, there's something wrong with that line. All right, so the film, we're almost at the end of the hour. Let's just give more information. The documentary will be shown. You're trying to set, and it looks like you may be well on your way of setting a Guinness World Book of World Records for the number of people who are going to see this film.
Yeah, but the one thing that we just want to stress to your listeners who do have tickets is show up. We think just because the tickets are relatively cheap that people might have bought, you know, groups of them, 12, 15, 20, and we just want to make sure every one of those seats is filled because the count happens at the end of the credits to see whether we've broken that record. So we just want to encourage all your listeners to make sure they're coming out and using those tickets that they have.
Mm-hmm. How long is the film?
It's about 80 minutes.
And it probably could have been 24 hours, right?
Yeah.
Oh, if gosh. Not more than that.
I would say, Clay could speak to this, but just editing the film for the last year has been very, very difficult because there's so many amazing stories. So how do you tell the story of the organization and tell the story of these individual veterans? So part of what we're doing, Clay can talk about this a little better, is we're releasing short videos as we go, you know, that highlight some of those veteran stories that didn't make it into the film.
Yeah. And we're just about out of time. So thank you both very much for being with us. All the best on having this seen by a large public. Mark, thank you so much for being with us and for all of these flights. It's a remarkable thing that's been done, isn't it? It's just when you think about it. It's extraordinarily remarkable.
Thank you for having us. And the hour has gone incredibly fast.
Yeah, hasn't it? So does life. Right.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thanks very much for being with us. And again, if you want more information, go to our Facebook page, The Kathleen Dunn Show. We have information about, you know, tickets and where it is and when it is and all of that. So thank you. Our thanks very much to Mark Grams, who's a member of the Stars and Stripes Honor Flight Board of Directors. Dan Hayes is director of the documentary film Honor Flight. Clay Broga is producer of the documentary film Honor Flight. And remember, the event is this Saturday at Miller Park, Stars and Stripes Honor Flight Milwaukee. A salute to the greatest generation. Should be quite a day. Thanks.